From the South Point studio, the perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
It's the over-under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
When I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is committed to helping our nation's heroes and their families in their darkest hours. When a first responder or veteran doesn't return home and leaves behind a young family, Tunnel to Towers supports them. The foundation pays off their mortgages and lifts their financial burdens through their Gold Star Family Home Program and Fallen First Responder Home Program. Through their Smart Home Program, catastrophically injured veterans and first responders regain their independence with a mortgage-free home, specially adapted to meet their unique physical needs. Tunnel to Towers also provides housing assistance and services to our nation's homeless veterans through their Homeless Veteran Program. They are helping more than 2,000 in 2023 because no veteran should be living on the streets of the country they signed up to protect. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices made by our nation's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program as we kick off another week of covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style. We come to you live and direct from the South Point studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on the fabulous Las Vegas Boulevard, which is, of course, the Las Vegas Strip here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And, of course, covering the world on many different platforms that we have, like our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global. Then you got the iPhones and the Androids that you can get your apps. You can get either the KSHP radio station app or you can get the YouTube app. If you go to YouTube, you can do what you can see us right now on the South Point Studios Network streaming on YouTube. You can get it on your app as well as your anywhere else you get your streaming at. So we welcome you to the show if you can see us and hear us on YouTube, that's for sure. And for those folks running around town this early in the morning here locally in Las Vegas, our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, and of course anywhere you get your podcasting. So simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Wednesday Race Day Show as we ramp it up for another exciting week here, especially in Las Vegas. This is March Madness, and we are getting ready to really explode tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, the first big weekend of the three weekends known as March Madness for the NCAA basketball tournament. The sports book right behind me will be packed. The race book, of course, is going to be packed as well for folks looking for a little racing action. It'll be an exciting weekend here at the South Point here in Las Vegas. And, of course, when we talk about March Madness, our March Madness, of course, in horse racing is also the last 2 weeks of March. We have a couple of really neat Derby prep races coming up this weekend on Saturday. And now the Derby prep races elevate to 100 points for the winner of both the Florida Derby and the Arkansas Derby and the UAE Derby and the Santa Anita Derby and the Wood Memorial coming up at the very end of this month and into the first weekend of next month. But coming up this weekend, the 100-pointers include the Louisiana Derby at the Fairgrounds and the Jack Ruby Stakes at Turfway Park. Both of them will hold 100 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. And we'll get to that leaderboard in just a moment or two before the big points start rolling in here at the end of the month. But this weekend, as far as stakes races are concerned, 29 stakes races on Saturday across the country with the racetracks that we cover and have here simulcasting in Las Vegas. 8 big stakes races at the Fairgrounds. It's a big weekend of racing at the Fairgrounds. 8 stakes races, of course. The Louisiana Derby with the 100 points there for the Kentucky Derby. And the Fairgrounds Oaks for the 3-year-old fillies heading towards the Kentucky Oaks on the first Friday in May. That race, the Fairgrounds Oaks, has 100 points for the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard as well. And, of course, 8 stakes races there, 4 grade twos you have, and 4 other stakes races on the big card there at the Fairgrounds. Turfway Park with the Jack Ruby Stakes that has 100 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard also has the Bourbonnet Oaks for the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard. That's 50 points there at Turfway Park. And, of course, they have 6 stakes races on Saturday, 2 grade threes and 4 other stakes races there. Oaklawn Park will kick in with a couple of stakes races, 1 grade 3 and another one as well. Laurel Park has a couple. Aqueduct Gulfstream will check in with their feature race on Saturday, and Santa Anita also has a grade 3 on tap. Sunday gets a little bit lighter. Sunday is a little bit lighter. They have 11 stakes races on Sunday. Fairgrounds will have 3 stakes races. Gulfstream and Santa Anita will have a stakes race apiece, and Tampa Bay Downs will come up with 6 stakes races on Sunday. So it's a big weekend as far as horse racing is concerned around the country. And if you're looking at Kentucky Derby future book points for the races outside the United States, as you know, they have several Derby point horses races as far as for the horses looking towards to get to the Kentucky Derby, both in England and in Japan. Japan, there'll be a stakes race there on Saturday with 40 Kentucky Derby points there as well. So we're looking across the country, across the world, as we get closer and closer to the Kentucky Derby, which is the first Saturday in May. And you know, we're past the middle of March already, that's for sure. So we got a lot to cover. As far as March Madness here at the South Point, well, you got the March Mad Madness type of thing, the Massive Madness, they call it here. The big ballroom will be open with seating, et cetera, and all the good stuff there, food and beverage, food and beverage prices that are discounted, and so you won't go broke eating or drinking up there. And, of course, all the action, they'll have the betting windows, et cetera, for March Madness in the NCAA tournament. And, boy, I tell you, if you've been watching this network, and, of course, we're on the South Point Studios Network streaming on YouTube. If you've been watching this network, you've been seeing our other shows, Sports by the Book and Punchlines as well. They were doing their bracket selections. It was an absolute riot. You guys, if you didn't watch it, you should have. It was so much fun to watch these guys doing this. And as the week goes by and as the tournament goes by for the next 2.5 weeks, you got to stay tuned here to the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. These guys are doing a great job covering basketball and all the fun and the last buzzer beaters and all that. And the bookmakers here, the odds makers, are doing great jobs, not only for the games themselves, but a lot of other stuff that's going on. I understand that one of the most popular bets in the tournament is the first team to reach 15 points in their first games. So we've got all sorts of exciting stuff going on. And, of course, back to horse racing, we do too as well. Big news item coming out of Southern California I want to get to. I'll get to not only Jonathan's thoughts about that, but certainly John Lindo's thoughts about that as well. But if we're looking just to take a look at the Derby rankings, the Derby before we get to the big 100-pointers this weekend, here's how the leaderboard looks as far as points are concerned for the Kentucky Derby. Still on top is Timberlake. He's still got 66 points. Dornock has 60. These horses will not be running this weekend. Domestic Product is sitting over at 60. Sierra Leone, who is a horse that wound up the individual favorite when the Kentucky Derby Pool 5 Parimutuel Future Book closed on Sunday. Sierra Leone is in fourth place with 55, along with Track Phantom at 55. Deterministic has 50. No More Time has 45. Fierceness has 36. He'll be going in the Florida Derby on March 30th. El Grande O has 30. And Catching Freedom in the top 10 has 25. So you can see that there's a lot of horses that, all the horses on the leaderboard right now will be bumped down further after this weekend's two 100-point races, because each winner of the both the Jack Ruby Stakes and the Louisiana Derby will also jump up right towards the leaderboard, and then, of course, those big races on March 30th as well. So we're looking at horses that got anywhere from 20 points on down that could be on a little bit of an edge as far as getting into the 20-horse field for the Kentucky Derby. Of course, right now, those horses include Hades, Uncle Heavy, Encino, Liberal Arts, McVeigh, and Northern Flame. All of those horses are towards the bottom now, and as the 100-pointers get going, they're going to be bumped out as well, but there'll be plenty of opportunities. The Lexington Stakes, that comes up as the last point getter here in America at Keeneland, when Keeneland opens in a couple of weeks. That race may very well determine if a horse bumps into the top 20 as well. But we'll wait and see how, no pun intended, they jockey for positions as far as the points are concerned. Let's take a look at the NHC. Remember, the National Thoroughbred Racing Association's Horse Player Championship was this past weekend. And I got to tell you, it was an exciting contest and exciting finish, that's for sure, because day one, the leaderboard on day one, TJ Sande was the leader there. Marshall Graham was second. Then you got into day two, and Seth Morris jumped up, and he was the leader on the second day. And the leader, as far as day one, dropped down quite a bit. And then as we got to the leaderboard after day two, Seth Morris was on top. TJ Sande again leaped up to be second from first, so he went from first to second, out, and then back to second. And the winner, however, on the closing day, the leader in the final, you're not going to believe this, Mike Gillum. Mike Gillum came from nowhere to win in one of the final races of the day on the last day of the tournament to get the win. Mike Gillum gets $800,000 for his effort in winning the national championship there, with $320.10 of total Parimutuel bets for the contest base there. Seth Morris finished second with $310.28. Matthew Blanchett was third. Lawrence Calden was fourth. Daniel Kaplan was fifth. Rob Henney, a handicapper in Southern California, was sixth. And the top ten was rounded out by Nicholas Shirella. TJ Sande's finished eighth overall. GT Nixon was ninth, and Scott Cavalieri was tenth in the national handicapping horse player, the championship there. It was one heck of a championship for the winner. He came from nowhere and got the money, $800,000 as the winner's share. As far as the future book wager, as we said, Sierra Leone was the individual horse future book wager favorite when it was all said and done when the Pool 5 closed on Sunday. Sierra Leone stands there at 7-1. The all other three-year-olds, believe it or not, was 11-1. And some of the other horses that'll be running, well, let's see what Fierceness. Fierceness wound up at 9-1, so he was close and was a second in the favoritism there. So we got a lot to cover on this Race Day Las Vegas show. Jonathan Hardoon will be with us in just a moment. Rich Eng, of course, will stop by, taking a look at the NCAA tournament now that all the brackets are set and ready to go. Today, as a matter of fact, there'll be some play-in games. John Lindo is going to be with us from Southern California with the Southern California Report that has some very interesting and sobering situation with Santa Anita. You want to keep a track for that. And, of course, Jerry J. should be with us later on with another tip on betting strategies. So without any further ado, we'll go to our first break on this Wednesday show. When we come back, we'll give you your racing menu for today and then get started with our handicappers. So don't go away. We'll return from the South Point Studios. Don't forget, go to YouTube, South Point Studios. Once you get on there and you're watching and listening to us, if you haven't subscribed, do it and do it today, please. Thank you. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Okay, back on Race Day Las Vegas. A couple of quick notes as far as racing is concerned. Jose Ortiz is planning on going to Keeneland. He's going to be racing at Keeneland and then go on to Churchill Downs. He's not going back to New York for the spring and part of the summer. He'll be at Keeneland and at Churchill Downs. In fact, he's riding quite a few mounts this weekend on Saturday at Turfway Park as well. And Mahoning Valley Racecourse will be running today, but they have already canceled tomorrow's racing, and it's not due to the weather. It's due to the fact they couldn't get enough horses. They didn't have enough horses to fill the entry box at Mahoning Valley Racecourse for tomorrow, Thursday. They have already canceled that card. They will be running today. And as a matter of fact, looking at the weather across the country, it looks pretty darn good across the country as far as rain, etc., is concerned, except when you get into the north. East quarter of the country, where you've got a lot of action going on as far as some rain and in places some snow there in the northeast. So we will wait and see how the weather turns out to be there this weekend. But as far as where the fairgrounds is at, Louisiana, for their big racing day on Saturday, looks pretty darn good. Florida does as well, California, and of course, we'll keep an eye on Turfway Park there in Florence, Kentucky. All right, time to get to the menu for racetracks available today in the Racebook, simulcast centers and racetracks around the country. We remind you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're listening here in Las Vegas, these will be the first post times that roll out in our racebooks right behind us here at the South Point. If you're listening anywhere else on many of the different platforms that we introduced and welcomed to you at the beginning of the show, however, wherever, whenever. If you're not in the Pacific time zone, adjust to it. First post times broadcast on this menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. I don't want you to miss anything, so adjust, will you? Like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? All right, we begin with the Tampa Bay Downs. Their first post time is 9:30 today. Tampa Bay Downs, 9:30 first post there. And they have a pick six jackpot carryover of $6,520. First post time, Tampa Bay, 9:30. Then we get the Parks Racing. Parks Racing's first post time is 9:40. Their pick five jackpot carryover today starts at $125,301. That's the starting point for the pick five jackpot at Parks, $125,301. First post time is at 9:40. Mahoning Valley is going today. Their first post time is 9:55. 9:55, their pick six jackpot, $36,054. And again, no tomorrow, but today they're on tap. 9:55, first post time at Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Next comes Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park's first post time is 10:10. Their pick six jackpot carryover is getting up there now. The pick six jackpot carryover, $382,857. $382,857. That's your carryover in the cash in the pick six, Rainbow pick six jackpot carryover today at Gulfstream. First post time is at 10:10. Next comes the Fairgrounds, Nolens. Fairgrounds has a first post time of 10:45. 10:45 at the Fairgrounds today. They have a pick six carryover. This is a regular pick six carryover at the Fairgrounds. Stands at $6,808 at the Fairgrounds today. First post time, again, is at 10:45. Then we go to Turf Paradise in Phoenix, Arizona. Turf Paradise first post time is 1:25. 1:25 at Turf Paradise today. There you got a nice pick six jackpot carryover there, $69,145. Turf Paradise first post time is 1:25. Then next comes Penn National. Penn National has a first post time of 3 p.m. Their super high five jackpot carryover, $14,022. First post time at Penn National again, 3 o'clock Pacific time this afternoon. And then we round out the nine tracks on our racing menu for today, and that is Charlestown Racecourse. Charlestown Races has a pick six jackpot carryover of $45,356. And their first post time at Charlestown is set at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And that's our menu for today. All righty, time to get to Jonathan Ardoon standing by in upstate New York. And Jonathan, first of all, how's the weather in your part of the country?
It's a little cool, but it's nice. You know, it's overcast, no snow or rain in sight, so that's certainly a good news. Certainly good news.
Well, now, Jonathan, you know, we're getting to the nitty-gritty now as far as the points for the Kentucky Derby. It seems like most of the races for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard from here on out, except for that last one in Lexington, the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland, are going to hold 100 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard, which means the leaders right now are going to get bumped, you know, right down to the bottom of the top 10 and right in the middle of it, and then those ones at the bottom get kind of shuffled off to Buffalo, so to speak.
Yeah, you're going to need probably 40 points at least, I would say, to get in. So if you have 40 points, you're probably safe. But you're right, Ralph. Now the 100 points is obviously, unless you're on the board already and you get the 100 points, you're going to be knocking people out of the top 20, and that's when it gets interesting.
That's for sure. There's no doubt about it. Well, you know, we're getting here in Las Vegas, a lot of folks will be here. It seems like they'll be vacationing here for the next 2 weeks with the March Madness behind us. But a lot of those guys will kind of circulate and get into the race book a little bit, and especially if they know that there's implications for horses running on Saturday that they may see when we take center stage, this sport does in the country with the Kentucky Derby. And I can tell you that at this point in time, Jonathan, I don't know if it's just me feeling this way, but there's not a lot of hype as far as like a rivalry concern, like east towards west, or a horse that's been performing so well that he's kind of reaching the stature of can he get beaten the Derby. None of that type of energy looking forward to exists as far as this Kentucky Derby is concerned, and maybe it's because of the fact that Bob Baffert doesn't have any horses eligible to go.
Exactly, and the best three-year-old isn't even in training now, and that's Nisos, and even if he was in training, he wouldn't be able to run. So the combination of no Baffert involved in the Derby, because he always brings horses that are ready to run there, and no real superstar, no wow performances yet from any of these horses. They took chances beating each other And Dornoch beat Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone beat Track Phantom. So they're going back and forth, and no one has really stepped to the head of the class. Even the Pletcher horses. Well, Locke is off the Derby trail, and the other one that won the Breeders' Cup, he came back and threw a dud. So let's see how he runs in his next performance. Again, everything's still up in the air, and that's why people that are betting these future bet books and not getting a fair price, they're really making a big mistake.
Well, you know, that horse that you were alluding to, Fierceness, he looks like an in and outer. It looks like if he doesn't get his trip in races, he can't overcome a lot of adversity. It seems like the races that he won, he got perfect trips in. So we'll wait and see about that.
Both the races he won, he made the lead, and he went wire to wire. So the question is he the need the lead type to win, or because like you said, is he going to be able to face some adversity and overcome a tough trip? And when there's 20 horses in the field, you know you're not getting an easy lead. I don't think so.
Jonathan, when you get to this point and you don't have that wow horse that we're talking about or another horse that is coming on, I think it would behoove a lot of race players when they're watching these 100-pointers, these last final preps for the Kentucky Derby, and not get so enamored, although you should have respect for the horses that win these races, because you're going to get a race like, the Bluegrass at Keeneland late, where you might have a horse that finishes third or second that is just about ready to peak at the right time. And you want these horses right now to peak with their best performance that they could have at the moment on the first Saturday of May at Churchill Downs. And I think it's important to see where, what kind of trips these horses get in these races, even if they don't win the race.
And who's going to be squeezing their horses is the question. You hit it on the nose, Ralph. You want the best performance for anyone that has a horse for it to come on the first Saturday in May. But at the same time, you first have to get to the dance, because if you don't get to the dance, you're not going to, no matter how good you are on the first Saturday in May, if you're not in a Derby, it doesn't matter. So it's kind of a balancing act, and obviously the great trainers, Cox, Baffert, Pletcher, they know how to play the game, and they know what they leave something in the tank for the most part, if you can. But again, first you have to get into the dance, and then you have to be able to perform your best on that day. So it's a tricky balancing act.
Not to mention the fact that the late changes that might happen. We remember with Real Strike a couple of years ago, wasn't even in the race 48 hours before the race was conducted. And because of a late scratch, he got bumped in, and then boom, he poses one of the biggest upsets in Derby history, no doubt about it. And so we have to look at that dimension as well. But I think that this particular Derby, I think that we're going to have to really pay attention that once the horses get to Churchill Downs, how they train on the track, how they're getting to the racetrack, and really go back and review some of the prep races to see, take a look at trips of horses to see if maybe a horse is starting to peak just at the right time, as they say, on the first Saturday in May. I remember this philosophy was of course, paid off several years ago in the Kentucky Derby, and it might have been over a decade now or more, because, I got kind of lose time when you get as old as I am. But Sea Hero, who finished a credible, I think he was either second or third in the Bluegrass, and came up big on Derby Day. So it's kind of, this kind of looks like that type of Kentucky Derby, that type of horse that we might be able to root out and look for. And, of course, we're going to have the Kentucky Derby Seminar here at the South Point, the annual one, of course, on Kentucky Derby Eve, and, of course, right after the Kentucky Oaks on the first Saturday in May. That, I believe, is on the 3rd of May in the Grandview Lounge. We're going to have the big Derby seminar with yourself, John Lindo, and me, taking a look at some of these variables leading to the Kentucky Derby the next day. It's going to be a big Kentucky Derby weekend here, starting out with the Kentucky Oaks Day on Friday, May 3rd. And, of course, right after that race, and after the races are conducted and concluded in Southern California. About 6 o'clock, we'll go ahead and start the Kentucky Derby Seminar in the Grand View Lounge, right next door to the Racebook, do the seminar, and then the following day we'll be up in the big ballroom for the big Kentucky Derby party with big banquet tables, big screen TVs, food and beverage discounts, a lot of betting windows, etc. Some promotions, you know, they had a hat contest. They're thinking of doing some promotions with that as well. All up there, and it's all free from the time you park your car till the time you get into the banquet room and the big room there for the big Kentucky Derby party. Somewhat like they're doing the March Madness here, that will also be in effect. And they did for the Super Bowl, that'll be in effect for the Kentucky Derby. Just a great place to be. Watch the races and bring your friends, too. You know, it's fantastic, that's for sure. But that's what I think we'll be looking for. And by the way, one final note about that. We're planning on doing a Kentucky Derby preview show here on the South Point Studios network only, not on the radio or anything else. It's only going to be on here. So for those of you folks that want to see that show, and I believe we're going to do it either, we're going to do it on Thursday night. I don't know exactly the time because we've got to move around, you know, got to put this special show in and around the regular programming here on the air. But we're going to do that, and we're going to take a look at the Kentucky Oaks Day program on that Thursday, in addition to featuring our thoughts, early thoughts about the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Derby seminar. So everybody out there, if you haven't tried going to YouTube, going to South Point Studios, and watching and hearing us over the South Point Studio streaming network at YouTube, you know, try to test it out before that, because on that day, on that and that particular show, it will only be on the air on this venue. Keep that in mind. Jonathan, right now, if you had to take a look at a horse that you think might win the Kentucky Derby, I know, this is just, you know, it's like throwing darts at the wall right now. What do you think? Who's impressed you so much right now? I can tell you that of the horses that are going to run the Derby, remember, we're not talking about Bob Baffert horses now, but of the horses that are running the Derby, I still think Timberlake is at top of the heap right now, as, you know, risky as that is.
I think Sierra Leone gets a slight edge, but again, it's way too early in my opinion, Ralph. Are they all going to run again for the most part? I heard now that Clement may train his horse into the Derby. I think that would be ridiculous. Deterministic, I think his name was. He never has even been around two turns. What I noticed this year, more than any other years, is that the trainers are kind of being more conservative with these horses. They're not rushing them into races. There are so many opportunities, you know, and they know you got to just be right for one race. It looks like they're being extra conservative. They're not overly racing these horses. I don't know why, but maybe that's the new way to attack the Derby.
Jonathan, when we look at the Jeff Ruby Stakes, it's on synthetic. We know that. And the 5-2 morning line favorite, and it was an oversubscribed race. There's also eligibles in this one, but the 5-2 favorite, there is the horse that won the El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate.
Golden Gate.
Mike McCarthy's Endlessly, and which was also on synthetic. So I guess he'd be the like the synthetic Derby horse of this year, wouldn't you think?
You know, I opened up the race and I started to look at it, and then I said to myself, "What am I doing?" There are 12 horses in this race. 9 of them have never run on synthetic. Am I supposed to be able to handicap a race like that? Honestly, I mean, you could find the best horse if you think it was on dirt or something and just apply the dirt. Or if people think Tapita and Turf are interchangeable, I don't know. But with all the races and all the opportunities you have to bet, you don't have to bet that race. I mean, when you have 9 unknowns in a race, are you really supposed to bet a race like that? Certainly not with any confidence.
No, not at all. But, you know, it holds 100 points for the Kentucky Derby, so the deal is there.
It holds 100 points because Churchill owns Turfway. That's why it owns 100 points.
I understand I understand that. That's fine. But the thing is, if you're a horseman looking at it, you say, well, you know, I might not be able to, you know, go in these other races, these big other Derby races, and have a shot, but I might have a shot in this one. I'm going to get the 100 points. I'm going to get the purse money, and then it gets me in the starting gate for the Kentucky Derby, which, by the way, you never know what's going to happen in that race, right?
Exactly. But to think that the Derby winner is coming out of the Jeff Ruby, I don't know. Obviously, anything could happen. And you know, but again, I just think you're up against it. I really do.
Yeah.
But who knows?
No question about that. Now, as far as the Louisiana Derby is concerned, you got a lot of horses that ran in the Rebel Stakes that are coming back in that. Let's see. You got the seventh place finisher in the Rebel. You've got the third place finisher in Catching Freedom. That came, I'm sorry, the Red Risen Star. Pardon me, it's not the Rebels, the Risen Star. The Risen Star, which is one of the preps for the Louisiana Derby. You got the seventh place finisher in the Risen Star. You've got the third place finisher there with Catching Freedom. The sixth place finisher with Awesome Rutta. The fifth place finisher, it's just almost like a rerun of the Rebel Stakes there. And, of course, the second place finisher, I said Rebel again. There is a Rebel Stakes horse in that race, though. Common Defense is there. But you got most of the horses are going to be a rerun of the Risen Star, except for Track Phantom.
The winner.
Yeah, except for the Track Phantom, who was second in the Risen Star. You're right, except for the winner of that race. But Track Phantom is the 3-1 favorite in the Louisiana Derby, but he got post 12 in that thing.
Yeah, so, and why isn't the winner coming back? Because the winner probably feels that he has enough points for the Derby. You know, why push him here? I don't know, but I think horses want to race. You know, again, it's a fine line between being overly cautious and doing too much. That's why I'm a handicapper and a trainer.
Well, not only that, but as a handicapper, all we want to do is try to pick winners, that's for sure. So why don't we get started with taking a look at your selections today? And I would imagine you're going to concentrate your selections in the great state of Florida.
Well, that's the only game in town. We have Gulfstream and we have Tampa. And, Ralph, honestly, this is the championship meet at Gulfstream. I don't get it. They have short fields. You know, between now and Sunday, they're running 40 races.
Yeah.
Seven of them are on the dirt. Seven out of the 40 races are on the dirt. The rest are Tapita and turf. And the whole idea of Tapita was, when the races would rain off in Florida, you didn't want the fields to scratch down to nothing, so they would go from grass to tapita. Now it seems like it's turning more into Golden Gate Fields, where you have majority of the races are tapita or turf. You get very few dirt races anymore, and I don't know why it is, but the field size is small, and I think this has been a horrible championship meet for them, to tell you the truth.
Well, I can tell you this. There is a common denominator between Gulfstream and Golden Gate, the ownership.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get started.
You know. Okay, Ralph. Let's look at the fifth race today at Gulfstream, which, by the way, is on the dirt. And I like the number three horse in here, Pure Spite. This is a 5-year-old gelding who was claimed last time out by trainer George Delgado. Rider switched today to Miguel Vasquez. He's listed at 9-2 on the morning line. He takes time between races, obviously has some physical problems, but when he shows up, he always runs well. I like number three, Pure Spite, to win today's fifth race out at Gulfstream Park.
All right, number three, Pure Spite. And again, 9-2 on the morning line for Mr. Delgado and Vasquez riding. And number three, Pure Spite. And that again in the fifth race at Gulfstream Park. That race should go a little bit after noon our time here on the West Coast. Where are we going next?
Let's go to Tampa. Look at their ninth and final race today, a mile on the turf. And this selection is for turf only, but they should be on the grass. I really like the number four horse in here, Zatip. This is a 5-year-old gelding from the Grand Motion Barn. I like the rider switch today to Pedro Morales. Go watch this horse's replay. He was hung out four wide, five wide, about seven wide, turning for home, and he just kept coming. I like number four, Zatip, 7-2 on the morning line, to win today's ninth and final out of Tampa Bay Downs.
All right, the four, Zatip, the four horse in the ninth and final at Tampa Bay. That race goes about 1:55 p.m. Pacific time as well. So you've got the ninth race at Tampa, number four, fifth race at Gulfstream, number three. And we will let Jonathan get back to trying to figure out who's going to win the Derby.
Plenty of time for that, Ralph.
All right, you got
Thank you, my friend.
You got two sheets today. Tell them where to get it.
JONHARDOON.com. Thanks,
right,
Ralph. Stay safe.
All right, that's Jonathan's website there. We're going to be right back with Rich Eng standing by. Hope you got enough sleep. But boy, there's talk about handicapping the Derby. How about handicapping the NCAA tournament? Wow. We'll be right back.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is committed to helping our nation's heroes and their families in their darkest hours. When a first responder or veteran doesn't return home and leaves behind a young family, Tunnel to Towers supports them. The foundation pays off their mortgages and lifts their financial burdens through their Gold Star Family Home Program and Fallen First Responder Home Program. Through their Smart Home Program, catastrophically injured veterans and first responders regain their independence with a mortgage-free home, specially adapted to meet their unique physical needs. Tunnel to Towers also provides housing assistance and services to our nation's homeless veterans through their Homeless Veteran Program. They are helping more than 2,000 in 2023 because no veteran should be living on the streets of the country they signed up to protect. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices made by our nation's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, getting ready for March Mayhem here at the South Point with the big... Exhibit hall going to be open up tomorrow early for the first round of the big March Madness college basketball tournament. And it's going to be great. Trust me, folks. And the man who's our point man to figure some of those brackets out is, John, of course, Rich Eng. And Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rafi.
Well, you've been working hard, buddy?
Yeah, I've been taking a look at it. You know, in my religion, I don't fill out brackets only because it's impossible to have a perfect bracket. There never has been one. But I look at the matchups, and there's some really interesting matchups. And the only time I'm going to mention a team that did not make the tournament, it's only because it's my alma mater, Ralph, yeah. St. John's. I cannot believe St. John's did not make the field of 68. Meanwhile, a team like Virginia did last night. And if anybody watched that game, Virginia against Colorado State, you have to scratch your head. How did Virginia, and why was Virginia in this field? They were pathetic.
I am behind you 110% on that. Virginia was one of the four play-in games, the first four. They got pummeled by Colorado State, 67-42. And St. John should have been in this field, no doubt about that. And well, everybody's going to have a complaint about something, that's for sure. But, you know, that's almost universal. I have talked to so many people that thought the same thing about Virginia being in instead of St. John's. But nevertheless, that's what it is. Colorado State will move on, as well as Wagner from the two games played yesterday. Today we've got Grambling and Montana State and Colorado and Boise State. That's the game I'm really interested in watching, Colorado and Boise State.
So, yeah, that's the game I'm going to give out on the show as a pick. The Mountain West Conference has six teams in the tournament. A lot of people questioning why, but they're all highly ranked. And believe it or not, Colorado State, out of the six, is the lowest ranked team. And if you watched them last night, they're going to be a tough out. I know they play Texas next, but they're going to be a handful for these Mountain West Conference teams. I do like Boise State.
But doesn't that bode well for Colorado and Boise State tonight?
Yeah, it does. I think it's a dead even game, and under the circumstances, I would take Boise State plus the 2.5. But I would shop for price because, Ralph, about 70-75% of the tickets and the money is coming in on Colorado. I think there's a pretty good chance this goes to 3, maybe even 3.5. So I don't mind going upstream. I would take the dog, Boise State, and again, shop for price.
All right, Boise State then, and see if you can get plus 3 by the time they tip off. That's 6:10 p.m. Pacific time on the True TV network. Boise State, Colorado. Boise State right now a small dog, but it could get up. But if it gets up to 3, that's an attractive price, that's for sure. You know, Richie, We're going to try to give you more time as the big tournament starts out tomorrow and, of course, throughout the weekend for the selections there, because it's not so much who you think is going to get to the final as it is picking out certain games, especially the first weekend. But the first weekend, at least the first round, has always been, you know, a round where it produces a lot of the dogs winning outright.
Yeah, point spreads, the dogs are a good way to go because, you know, there's a lot of parity in college basketball. There are a few teams that stick out really well, like UConn is going to be a solid favorite to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of these matchups, the, you know, the 6 versus 11, the 5 versus 12, you know, the 4 versus the 13. Those games are pretty tight, Ralph, and so you want to take advantage of the point spread.
It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Do you have, if you do, have a race pick, we'll get it from me and we'll let you go.
Yeah, I do have a horse. I'll join Jonathan in the horse line. Let's go to Turfway Park tonight, race number 4. I like the 3 horse, Fortune Bound, 7-2 in the morning line. Luan Machado riding for Philip Sims. This horse ran off a layoff last time. Ran okay, but I think this horse will move forward second time off the layoff. So the 3, Fortune Bound, race 4, Turfway.
Fourth race, Turfway Park, number 3, Fortune Bound. We'll try to get that parlay to Boise State maybe as well. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. Go back to work, my man.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're coming back with a short break, and then we'll be back with John Lindo and Jerry J. Don't go away.
From the South Point Studio. The perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least 2 picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
For real.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, and we're going to go right out now to John Lindo standing by in Southern California because we are pushing time. But, John, there's something important that happened in Southern California between the last time we talked on Sunday and today, and there's an article in the Los Angeles Times that has brought it all out. Maybe you can explain it.
Well, there's an important California Horse Racing Board meeting tomorrow, Thursday, Ralph, where they're going to work on assigning the dates this fall, whether those dates include racing in Northern California. We know that Golden Gate closes in June, and right now the Northern California horsemen are trying to come up with an alternative circuit, which would include Pleasanton. So that'll be introduced, I think, tomorrow at the California Horse Racing Board meeting. Well, yesterday, the First Racing Group, Craig Fravel, the executive director of racing for First, sent a note to the California Horse Racing Board. And what it basically said was, if you're going to assign the fall racing dates to Northern California, then First Racing is going to look at, they will immediately cut purses at Santa Anita, and they'll look at alternative uses for Santa Anita and San Luis Rey, the training facility in Fallbrook, and that's based on the fact that when there is no racing in Northern California, the simulcast handle money would come down to Southern California. And it looks like the First Racing Group is absolutely dependent on getting those additional funds to help boost the purses and defray some of the costs of racing in Southern California. So there's a lot going on out here right now, and tomorrow's meeting's important. We'll see where the dates go and how the First Racing Group reacts to whether there is an assignment of those dates, and it's very possible that Pleasanton will get maybe 10 weeks of racing this fall up there and in Northern California to keep that circuit alive. So unfortunately, most of the news out here in Southern California racing is being made off the track and not on the track.
Well, John, is that a little bit of gamesmanship on behalf of First Racing, or is this a threat?
I think it's both. But, you know, if you're going ahead of a meeting, it seems awful strange that you're going to kind of threaten you vote this way or else. I don't know if that's the most professional way to do it, but it's a fact, though, and that's what's happened here, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and don't forget, the ownership of the track is telling the regulating agency of the government that regulates their racing how to vote. That can get a little dicey, that's for sure. But we will be edge of our seats to see what happens, and of course you will keep us posted on that. There is a column in the Los Angeles Times, if folks want to go there, about this whole thing, but raising its ugly head again. And, you know, as far as Southern California, I mean, the purse distribution, they're already stuck about, what, $3, $4 million in overpayments of purses, so they are dependent now on that Northern California money making its way to the purse structure in Southern California, right?
Yeah, I think the purse overpayments have been, they're probably well over the $4 million mark in Southern California now. So whether or not these dates get assigned to Northern California, I don't know if there's any way, as far as running the business, that you can't have a purse reduction to try and make up some of the differences.
And they'll be threatening a bigger purse reduction if they don't get voted that way. We have to go, but this is an ongoing story, and we'll talk to you more about this with you tomorrow. And looking forward to the Linda report this week. Thanks a lot, John.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz, and he, I guess, has another thought about a betting strategy or two. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Ralph. The other day we had a really good result that I particularly love that I thought we maybe kind of review today.
Okay.
It happened on March 14th. We gave out, in the eighth race at Aqueduct, Don Vino Vici, who went off at 2-1, a little under 2-1. Favorite ran second. And we end up getting a base payoff of 7-1 with a 2-1 shot that ran second. And that happened because a real long shot won the race, a first-time starter from Cleveland Johnson, who doesn't win but once a year, if that often. And this was the one time he won. And this was a $24 sort of like base bet where you would have bet $16 on the 2-1 shot to win in exactas or however, and a $1 reverse wheel. We would have put less on the place money because it was only a 2-1 shot, and a $1 reverse wheel for $24. It was a 9-horse race, so that cost $8. And you got back $173 for the payoff. So you put up $24 and you get back $173 on a 2-1 shot that you didn't even win on. So think about it. I mean, think about how rich a vein that is. Of course, you have to get a little lucky to get into it, but you will get lucky in horse racing from time to time. You'll get unlucky plenty too. So, but we don't need to worry about the unlucky part. It's just, you know, if you put the play in and let the randomness of the game take its, you know, run its course, you're going to run into these plays, and you'll run into them much more frequently than you think. It may not happen where they'll beat you. Sometimes they'll come in second, and, you know, in this case, we were in third, but we were put up to second. So,
well, yeah, we cashed. That's the big deal. It doesn't matter where, you know, the official, result got you the play. And, you know, at this time of the year, especially now with this March Madness happening, you know, sports players are so used to laying $1.10 to win $1, et cetera. But in horse racing, you have so much more value. And if you make the plays right, as you say, like you're trying to demonstrate here, you can lose a lot more bets in racing. And when you connect, you can still make more money than you can if you won more bets on sports I know it sounds a little bit, you know, unusual, but that is the case, and that's for sure, and that's what we're trying to highlight here on the Race Day Show. I want to thank you so much for doing that, Jerry. We have obviously run out of time again, but that was a good example of what we're talking about when you're talking about betting horses against sports. And I like to bet on both anyhow, so it doesn't matter. But in any case, we'll be back tomorrow, and by the time we get on tomorrow, March Madness will already be starting behind us. So, well, we got one more thing to say, and Jerry usually susses it.
Have a great race day, everybody.